Hello everybody, my name is Owen, and this is Owen's Gadget Talk for Wednesday, 17th of March, 2021. Another sort of Wednesday episode. I couldn't get around to recording on a Tuesday. You could say I was busy. Obviously, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I take 3 hours of math classes, of tuition. And then afterwards, yesterday was quite exceptional because I had to go somewhere, and then when I came back, it was very late. It was well past midnight, so no point of even lying to you that this is Tuesday's episode, it's Wednesday's episode. But, well, we're not here to bicker about these little details. We're here to obviously talk about everything related to technology, because that's what we really are for. Fortunately, these past couple of weeks, 2021 has really gone started. It's been off to a bit of a good start. Some good things have really happened. A lot of people have gotten the COVID-19 vaccine, which I think probably would save a lot of lives easily. It'll take a good year. I'll probably say, I'm no doctor, first of all, but one thing I'll definitely say is that, it'll take, probably take a bit more time before we see the benefits of inoculating a lot of people and saving them from coronavirus. If you talk about the whole wide world, it's probably like a whole year or two, and then you'd see the benefits of it. I'm no sophisticated all-rounder expert, but what I would say is that the world would be back to full speed, back to normal, really, a good kind of normal, not like the old days, but a good kind of normal. Everything is up and running. People do kind of take care of their health, and they do look to use immunity boosters and all that kind of stuff. But like, the world would be back to a good kind of new normal by 2023. People will be flying in a bigger capacity. Oh well, hopefully, we're in 2021, so a good year or two, which makes tons of sense based on how I've kind of been seeing. But hey, we're not here to predict the future, and we really are certainly not here to predict what stuff will be coming in the phones of the future. We're here to talk about what's popping just about now. And there's a lot going on in a sense of, there's a lot going on in and of that. There are tons of phones that are launching next week. Ironically, there's no other time than this last week or two of March for tons and tons of phones to be unveiled. We got first of all Realme. Now, Realme, we've been hearing a lot about their 8 series, and some reviewers have even gotten the Realme 8 Pro already. But obviously that is because that's been revealed, the camera has been revealed, there's nothing much we don't know of the 8 Pro or the 8 in general. But more than everything, the Realme 8 series will be launching globally next Wednesday on the 24th of March. And the launch event will be at 2 o'clock GMT in the UK, and obviously an hour later for folks in Europe roughly, and then 7 p.m. Pakistan time and 7:30 p.m. Indian time. So yeah, roughly, and most likely if I do the math, then that would essentially be 10 p.m. Southeast Asia folks over there. I think Malaysia and Indonesia, now they use the same time zone. I'll probably confirm with you. Oh, and just to confirm, it is going to be on the 24th of March, 10 p.m. for folks in Malaysia, Singapore, and Hong Kong, and the Philippines. So big markets for Realme over there. So pretty exciting stuff. But you know, really, the real excitement around the Realme 8 Pro or the 8 series, really, or especially the 8 Pro, is the fact it'll come with a 108 megapixel camera. So that'll be something to look out for. But I definitely want to see the reviews of this phone, or really the camera comparison. How good is the 108 megapixel camera? Is it really worth the extra $100 or $200 compared to the regular 8 series, the regular 8 phone that will be coming out with it? As I said, we really don't know much about the 8 or the 8 Pro, and we'll see next Wednesday. But on top of that, 2 days early, which is approximately Monday, next Monday, well, coming Monday pretty much, Poco is going to do its own event too. And now I saw this, and like, straight off the bat was like, okay, yeah, then there's the X3 Pro and the F3, right? Boom. So Poco is doing its online launch event. It's also doing like a bit of a global event from the looks of it, on 22nd of March, and this will be at 8 p.m. GMT. So that'll roughly be, okay, no, it's 8 p.m. Beijing time. That's where Xiaomi is based in. So technically, if I did the math right there, that would be 5 p.m. Pakistan time, and then 5:30 p.m. Indian time, and then if you wind the clock back a lot, by a lot, pretty much that would be 12 noon British time. So this is something to definitely look out for, from the looks of it. Now, interestingly, we should expect to see the Poco X3 Pro. Now, there actually is already a leak of for the Poco X3 Pro, and that is that it looks a little similar. If I could load this up right here, yeah. So, good old leaker Shan Agrawal has tweeted a render of the X3 Pro. Now, essentially, the way I should describe this is, it's awfully similar to the X3, literally. It just has a it has the same camera back as the X3. It has different colors, different gradient finishes to you know, you can tell it from the regular X3. That is, apparently the X3 Pro will come with 120 Hz display and a Snapdragon 860 chip, so pretty solid specs right here, from this. Now, we really don't know. Now, in more interesting than all is the fact that we haven't heard of this chipset, the Snapdragon 860. This is something new that Qualcomm may be launching. Maybe this will be the first phone to come with the 860. It could be a bit of a watered down chip compared to the could be a watered down chip s between that's similar to the chips of yesterday, the 865 and stuff, less than that, and it will not have 5G. But yeah, so but hey, it didn't really, the X3 didn't have 5G, so there's nothing special about it. But more than that, also there's the this if this event, if this happened at the event, also there's the Poco F3 that could come out, and that's basically a global version of the Redmi K40. Unfortunately enough, in India, they're probably not going to talk about this in depth. There probably is a plan to m probably potentially launch it as the Mi 11X, which could make sense, but again, that's also something to look, something to think about. So they really, really have it, and that's Xiaomi. And unfortunately enough, the following day, I mean, after the Realme event, that's on Thursday, 25th of March, Motorola is obviously going to show off the potential Moto G100, which is obviously the global version of the Motorola Edge S, which has been this really best-selling high-end phone in China. It's been selling like hotcakes. Features a Snapdragon 870, really good phone, from the looks of it, absolutely a flagship killer. Now I will warn you, potentially, and that is the price will be a little different. In China, the Motorola Edge S started at $310 US, whereas the global variant could start from as little as 400 to 500 bucks, which is a slightly a little bit of a markup, but frankly, given the specs you have here, some people will not really budge to spend about around $500 for this phone. I mean, it could snatch some custom, it could snatch plenty of phone upgraders, you could say, such as obviously those looking to buy a new Samsung or Xiaomi probably. So that's quite competitive. And then finally, Nokia is doing its own event, but it's on April 8th. This is which is really after 2 weeks, pretty much. And so apparently we don't know much aside from saying it's stating love, trust, keep as the hashtag, but we kind of do know. Okay, and to be fair, the event's going to be at 3 p.m. British time, so that will be give and take. That essentially should be 8 p.m. Pakistan time, 8:30 p.m. India time, and then that'll be 11 p.m. 11 p.m. for all my folks in Malaysia, Singapore, and the Philippines. So keeping up with the time zones, it's not that easy. With this event, Nokia is expected to launch three interesting phones, two mid-rangers, and one affordable phone. Fortunately, those phones have actually got leaked. I really am trying. I really want to like shout very loudly, but everyone's sleeping upstairs and downstairs and around, so I can't scream. You know, oh well. Hope you understand that. But we have two new mid-ranger phones that Nokia is looking to launch. So there's Nokia X10 and the X20. Weirdly enough, both phones are nicknamed after Marvel superheroes. The X10 is named after the Scarlet Witch. If you watch WandaVision, you'll know what the Scarlet Witch is. It's a thing. And obviously, similarly, the X20, which is codenamed Quicksilver, the X-Men hero, which is weird. Now, more than interestingly, and this is the interesting part, the X10 and X20, which are two mid-ranger phones, both have the same chip, the Snapdragon 480 processor with 5G built right in, which is a bit of a big deal. You know, not many Nokia phones exist with 5G right now. So there are two new, not one, but two new phones at 5G built in, which is not that bad. The X10 will come with 6 gigabytes of RAM and 32 gigabytes of storage. Now, I don't know if they're gonna really include 6 gigs of RAM this way. This would probably be a bit aggressive, competition-wise. But hey, they could. I mean, some folks will pay a lot for a Nokia phone. Oh well. And the Nokia X20 may have 6 gigabytes of RAM and 128 gigabytes of storage. The X10 will come in white and green, whereas the X20 will come in blue and sand colors, which would actually look interesting. So really, but there are no pictures about it. These are the details. Big shout out to folks at Nokia Power User, a bit of fan page for Nokia phones, which is interesting. Obviously, I don't think they're gonna call it the X7 or the X10 or X20. They're probably gonna give it a cooler name, probably more like the 3.6, 3.7, something like that. So that's very, very interesting. I'm definitely sure this is the actual code name of these phones, or this is what we called in other markets like China, where you can't write 5.44 something. Then there's another phone on top of the X10 and X20, the G20. The G20 will feature a slightly more powerful processor. When did this came out? Okay, this is a recent scoop. It may feature a powerful MediaTek processor. I can probably imagine it's one of those G or P series processors. It probably has a better camera than a previous Nokia model that has come out before it. I don't know what the G10 is. Oh, this is also the Nokia G10. Now, that's interesting. There's a whole lot of phones right here. So, we possibly may have four phones in the running. So that's extremely interesting, to say the least. So the G20 would essentially be a bit more powerful than the regular G10 phone, and would come at 4 gigabytes of RAM and 64 gigabytes of storage, and maybe priced at €169 out of the gate, which would be interesting. There's also the G20, but obviously it features a Qualcomm 460 chip. Most likely, and on top of all that, it will obviously have similar amount of memory and storage options, and will have quite similar specs. These four phones are expected to launch. Hopefully, should be launching on April 8th, which is kind of interesting. Pretty much, it's fascinating that after everything, Nokia is looking to launch. Okay, then there's the G10. I kind of skipped past it. Nokia Power User reports that the G10 will have a Helio P22 processor, and obviously, as I said earlier, mentioned similar amount of memory and storage, and it could cost €139 for the base spec, and this should hopefully come out on April 8th, so there's something to look out for. These aren't These aren't flagship killers by any stretch of imagination, but for most people outside of the big smartphone markets, or obviously places where you can't buy a Xiaomi or a Realme or a Redmi phone, a Realme or a Redmi, this is a good option. I definitely want to watch out for this. It's quite interesting. These essentially, if we do the calc, if we, count everything, you probably have 1, 2, 3, 4. Four, seven, seven, is it seven? Eight phones launching next week. Eight phones. So next week will be interesting to say the least in that regard. And then there's another Realme phone on top of the 8 series. So Realme is obviously gonna launch the 8 series, and then next week, if we're to believe this announcement from Realme Indonesia. Big shout out to my folks in Indonesia. I mean, they obviously Realme is gonna drop the C25 and on top of hopefully the C21, which is interesting. So the C series is obviously the affordable phones that they have, and it's quite interesting because they don't really, as I said, they do make a whole lot of these phones. They've been making a lot of C series phones in the past year or two. I still remember the C3 coming out, so it's been. I mean, I've lost count, but in case you forgot, the Realme C25 will feature the following specs. It has a fingerprint sensor, probably in the power button. Is it at the back? See, not on the screen or on the power button. A 6.5-inch display, 18-watt fast charging, 8-megapixel selfie camera, 6,000 mAh power battery, 48-megapixel AI triple camera. There's a 48-megapixel sensor on one, and a Helio G70 processor. And now there's no information about how much this phone will cost, so we'll have to wait till next week to see if there is, if there's most some. I mean, I don't know. Part of me thinks it's like a they say f have some leftover phone parts they put it together, and it's like a new phone that they're launching. So that's interesting. On top of that, they're also planning to launch the C21 next week too. And that will feature the Helio G35, a 6.5-inch HD plus LCD display, 30-megapixel camera, triple camera, not three 30-megapixel sensors, as a 30-megapixel main sensor, most likely, 5,000 mAh power battery, and weirdly enough, a U micro USB port. For love of God, or really, what? Up with some brands still including micro USB on a phone that will probably not be $80. It'll probably be 200, 100, 200, $300, around that kind of price tag. Even under $300, this is a bit of a travesty to still include micro USB. It's nuts. I mean, like, I'm so sorry. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'll say this once and for all: USB-C must be standard on all phones, period. If it's on all sorts of devices, your computer, lots of computers and motherboards are coming with it included, then it's not difficult to offer it along with on phones. Why I say along with it should be included, period. So, I mean, I really think Realme should think about bringing USB-C into the mainstream along with 5G and active noise cancellation headphones, if that's what they want to do. I mean, they gotta offer some real specs at real prices, if you know what I mean. So, I mean, they gotta dare to defy, like their slogan tends to say. So, yeah, moving on. So we all know the Realme GT has already come out. It's a good phone, Snapdragon 888, lots of good specs. But interestingly enough, of all things, AnTuTu Benchmark has a cute has I mean AnTuTu has apparently removed the Realme GT's sort of result on AnTuTu Benchmark, because apparently, according to the benchmark, Realme essentially cheated on its benchmark as it is. So basically, the phone scored around 750,000 on AnTuTu, and that was a little higher than the Mi 11 at 708,000, roughly. The current and for context, the fastest phone on the AnTuTu V8 benchmark is the Vivo IQ7 12 gigabytes of RAM, 256 gigabytes of storage, and roughly total 727,730 total score, theoretically, which is impressive nonetheless. And then second is Mi 11, and third is the Galaxy S21 Ultra 5G, which is not too shabby. So a very fast device nonetheless. But weirdly enough, according to AnTuTu, as I said, Realme GT has cheated the benchmark essentially by modifying the reference JPEG picture used in the JPEG decoding test, and this is the clearest example of what they've attempted to do to make the result more accurate. Now on the now I have a picture kind of opened up here, and on one side is on the right side is like a picture that AnTuTu uses as a reference. So you'd serve, so the phone sort of decodes it, and so the faster it sort of does it, if you know what I mean, the faster it does it, so it creates a result, and then you know, and you benchmark it, and that's how fast it can go. On the left side is essentially a modified, basically it's highly pixelated. You can't even make out certain colors or details. The only detail really remain on the left image, on the right image, compared to the right. Is in this, and then if you look at the left one, is the mountain plains. So there's like, it's all mountain plains, and so there's a lower part of the mountain that's visible, and then the rest is quite pixelated. And that meant it quickly can process it incredibly fast, if you can see the flick of my on over the mic. So that's interesting, to say the least. And then apparently, on top of that, the phone used. So I read what they've essentially have, what AnTuTu claims has happened. The phone reportedly used thread delay tactics to run the multi-thread test on its fastest CPU cores as much as possible. This, AnTuTu notes, resulted in a higher score. And Realme GT also modified the reference JPEG image used by AnTuTu. Instead of processing the image verbatim, it instead used mosaic color blocks to reduce the quality of the image. This in turn allowed for lower processing times. So from their claim, they essentially tweaked, they ran out and tweaked those two parts of the benchmark, made it a bit faster, and hence essentially the phone outperformed every other phone on the list. Now this is such a strong allegation, as I said. Now AnTuTu obviously notes that these tactics, obviously against what the benchmark set for, is to sort of do a raw performance, to check the raw performance of phones and see if it outshines whatever is in front of them. And now they have sort of issued an ultimatum to Realme that if they do not modify they don't fix this issue or change the way they benchmark the phone, or just keep the phone set to vanilla and let the phone be benchmarked as it is, as if it just came straight out of the factory, it will permanently ban the phone. The GT, the Realme GT, will be permanently banned from AnTuTu benchmark. It'll not be recorded. It'll be out of the benchmark, so you won't be able to see it, which I think is quite powerful. Yikes! What a twist of events. Fortunately, Realme's CMO, Shu Kui Chase, I'm sorry if I butchered the name, I couldn't pronounce it properly. Shu Kui Chase wrote on Weibo, responding to these allegations, that our writing scores of real data ran under the current version. He went on to claim that he probably won't use AnTuTu's sort of benchmark scores, and let the products speak for themselves. Oh well, I think the thing is, and then obviously Realme responded to Android Authority's claim. Again, this is from Android, the scoop is from Android Authority, big shout out to them. They broke it first, pretty much. And that is that Realme has told Android Authority that, quote, the results are all accurate, which is interesting. It's quite surprising what we've seen here with this whole debacle with the results. It's surprising. I think benchmark results are kind of important for some phones. It's kind of validation of how powerful your phone is, theoretically. It's a kind of oh yeah feeling, you know, like the phone is extremely fast and this capable compared to the competition out there. And for some phone brands, not all of them, for some it's quite important, like Realme. Realme is obviously not a big brand. It doesn't have that much recognition. It really may, it's some capacity in some place somewhere, it kind of really needs these big results really to validate that their phones are incredibly fast. But hey, honestly, I mean, quite frankly, the phone's really fast. Snapdragon 888, an incredibly fast processor. You don't really, I mean, it could be argued for if there's a need for these sorts of results or benchmarks, but it's, again, it's quite fascinating what you have here. Nonetheless, it's quite surprising, nonetheless. So that's something interesting. It's quite surprising, frankly. And on top of it all, really, there's another OnePlus 9 point that we're hearing, and that's about the display. Basically, the OnePlus 9 was said to have a 2K plus 120Hz LTPO OLED display, which will be interesting. It essentially is rated A plus by DisplayMate. It's a true 10-bit panel with over a billion colors. It's a similar Oppo phone, just like it I've talked in last week, pretty much. So this is interesting given the event, the launch event for this phone is next week. So that's really. And on top of that, and this is confirmed, it's one of the many trickly bits of news that OnePlus sharing about these new phones, that the OnePlus 9 series will come with 2 years warranty, which is interesting, which means if you're kind of unsure, you could buy this phone, and if anything goes wrong within the 2 years of owning the phone, not one even, two, again, OnePlus can help, and I think that's kind of smart to get more and more of those typical high-end phone customers, so that's interesting. Now, moving on, Qualcomm is, well, Qualcomm's looking to make ARM-based processors, and it's happening, boys, we're here, we're in the future. There's Apple Silicon chips, and then there's options from MediaTek that are coming to Chromebooks. Now we have Qualcomm's answer to it all. According to VinFuture, kind of famous with leaking all these little bits of tech, there's a new sort of processor that apparently is a variant of the Snapdragon 775 chipset. Snapdragon 775 will essentially be a 5-nanometer processor potentially. It's yet to be released, so it's an upcoming chip. Has millimeter wave 5G support and LPDDR5 RAM support. Now, there's obviously a new processor for laptops, and it'll be using that silicon from the double 775, which is interesting to say the least. Basically, it's not like the 8CX processor from Qualcomm, which is for laptops too, that is incredibly fast. This essentially will have a 8-core processor. It'll be an 8-core processor with four high if I be able to read. Essentially, this is code named has internal model number SC7295. Keep that in mind. But more than everything, so you have where did we go here with information? So you have four gold cores, basically, and it'll run at 2.4 gigahertz. So this, you essentially have one high frequency core and then three high end cores, as it is, and all four will run up to 2.4 gigahertz. Whereas, on top of that, there'll be four extra computing cores that are power saving, high efficiency cores that run at a maximum of 1.8 gigahertz. So now the thing is, we really don't know much about it, aside from the fact it's based off the Snapdragon 775, which will come in an upcoming Xiaomi phone, from the looks of it. I mean, we do know this may come out next year, potentially, so it'll be supplementing the 8C and 8CX chipset, which is already on several laptops. And this is on top of everything. This is on top of everything. This is on top of the fact that Qualcomm has announced that they're buying Nuvia, which is a chip design maker that was founded by Gerald Williams III, who actually was an ARM engineer and an Apple engineer previously. So now Qualcomm's the owner of Nuvia. So essentially what Nuvia does is they make essentially chip designs, and apparently Qualcomm's plan with buying Nuvia essentially is to help Qualcomm make desktop and laptop level processors that are based off the main Snapdragon chips. They obviously will be called Snapdragon something something, but obviously they'll be on computers. And the aim is to kind of beat Apple Silicon, which is absolutely killing it, even beating Intel-based Macs by a wide stretch of the imagination, which is interesting on another level, you could say. So it's kind of interesting that Qualcomm's looking to buy another little company to help make desktop processors. So it's quite aggressive times ahead for Qualcomm in general. So. It's great, you know. There'll be more options on the market in that regard. It's lovely. You'll have to wait till next year or the year after next year to see any computers with Qualcomm with Snapdragon chips on them. But I'm kind of psyched, slightly. I mean, kind of will miss AMD and Intel a little bit. There's still a lot of competition in that regard. There's Ryzen and there's Intel Core processors, and then as I said, you'll have to wait till next year. I would say that smartphone-grade chips would be great for ultrabooks and Chromebooks and those sorts of computers where you need higher efficiency, better battery life, fast performance for just everyday tasks. And in that regard, smartphone chips will do wonders in that regard. So quite snappy in that regard. And now we've spent more than half an hour. Finally, Google's released a brand new Nest Hub, which is just it's slightly better Nest Hub. So the one new thing that they've added to this new Nest Hub that you're able to find, it's essentially will start at $100, so around the same price as regular Nest Hub, and it'll start shipping on March 30th, and it's already up for pre-orders, and it comes in four wonderful colors. But the biggest difference is that it features a solar sensor, a radar sensor, a solar sensor, which is on one of the Pixel phones, and it's really cool in the on top of obviously the three head microphones you're able to get for Google Assistant performance. Basically, the new Nest Hub has a 50% better base performance. In general, it has a thread router and essentially can act like it can be used for Thread smart home functions, which is interesting. They say it's not enabled at launch, so that it'll be available down the road as a software upgrade, so that's interesting. But more than everything, this has a solar sensor, but not for anything else. It's apparently to track your sleep. That's nuts, a smart display tracking your sleep. How much futuristic can this get? So interestingly, the solar sensor, essentially, if you put it right by your bed, it'll detect you sleeping, and can detect along with the microphones, light sensors, and temperature sensors. It essentially track your sleep theoretically, and it can measure many things really. It can measure movement, breathing, and much more, and essentially takes those habits. And obviously how long you sleep and stuff. And you can detect how much you're coughing in your sleep. And it stitches that data and shows it to you when you wake up on a Nest Hub, which is incredible. And the data goes straight to Google Fit, so you could see it on your Google on your phone later on. Now, apparently, Google did conduct research, obviously. They do claim this, if you're looking to get this actually for sleep tracking, this will not evaluate your sleep cycle patterns. So if you want to know if you slept quite deep or a little light, it won't do that. That makes sense given that it's not that accurate in that regard. So basically, Google did test this functionality and it was quite accurate. Don't know what to say, but they did some work on the sleep tracking from the looks of it, And it's quite accurate, equally compared. It's equally accurate compared to a fitness tracker. I just realized that Google now owns Fitbit. So, I don't know. They really needed to update the Nest Hub. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of interesting product, to say the least. You know. So, basically, in terms of accuracy, the Nest Hub has sensors that could detect other factors that could affect your sleep. Whereas your sleep trackers or fitness trackers cannot tell you that information. It only tells you what your body's feeling when you're sleeping. But the Nest Hub can tell what your place feels like when you're sleeping, which is interesting, to say the least. And obviously, they did claim a bit of privacy claims, like they don't send the data over to the cloud or use it for anything, for advertising, which is interesting. So that's that. So it'll be interesting to see what using the Soli sensor, I mean, how good is it really? Google's also trying to do a bit more of smart health functionality. They have bought Fitbit, so this could stitch together completely to get a full picture of your health. So that could be Google's answer to what Apple is doing in that regard. So that's absolutely fascinating. So it'll cost $100, so the only difference really is that solar sensor really, and it could really track your sleep, so that's quite interesting, to say the least. But really, aside from that, what do you think of everything you've heard today? Let me know. Obviously, send me a message or tweet me or message me on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at @Sait_Mahmood99. Follow me there if you can. Subscribe to the show, wherever you listen to podcasts. Leave a review if you're on Apple, primarily. Again, share this to your friends and family. It's pretty easy. I mean, if you are in your favorite podcast app, you know where to go to share shows. Or if you're on Spotify, you can click the little share podcast and send it to your friends and family. But yeah, that's been it. It's your boy Mahmood signing out. And it's your slightly sleepy boy Mahmood signing out. Really, again, I appreciate if you subscribe and tell your friends to listen to it. And obviously, and you listen to more episodes of my podcast, because again, it is quite a lot of effort to make it, and really your feedback and support will definitely be appreciated. This is your boy Mahmood signing out. Peace. Yeah, I'm starting to stutter a bit because I'm a bit sleepy. Peace. Have a great day, and I'll see you tomorrow, pretty much, or hopefully on Thursday, with another episode of Mahmood's Gadget Talk. All right, stay safe, take care. I'll see you later. All right, ciao. Thanks for listening.